ask you to open your Bibles way back to the book of Psalms, Psalm 103, the 103rd Psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. The place thereof shall know it no more. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Trust the Lord to bless to us the reading of that beautiful song. David has given us the words, but he hasn't given us the tune. Do you ever wonder, when you read through some of these, what a difference it would make if we knew the tunes? However, when you learn them in your heart, you can go around the house and you can sing them your own way. Put a tune to them as you go. You know, it's a very strange thing. Sometimes in places a man will give out a hymn and nobody knows the tune. I heard of that happening in one place where they didn't believe in solo singing. It was a taboo. A young fellow was there who was in the army. And he gave out a hymn, and the man who was accustomed to raising the tunes, he says, "I'm sorry, brother, we don't know a tune to that hymn." He says, "Well, I know one. I'll start it." So he started, and he sang through the first verse, and nobody joined in with him. So on he went through the second verse. He sang it right through himself. So if they never had a solo before then, they had it that day. He knew a tune to it. But you know, some of these things you can sing away. I remember many times going to visit my mother when she was lying in bed, and she was deaf. I believe that's where I take my deafness off. But went in, just opened the door, went in, could, her room was just first on the right, and she was singing. She always kept her Bible and the hymn book at her bedside. She was singing, and she was enjoying her song too. But you know, I don't think she was on the right tune. At least at places, she was off the tune. But she was enjoying it, and that's what counted. That's what counted. See, here's David. And in the first five verses, he's speaking to himself. At least that's how I see it. He's talking to himself. Do you ever speak to yourself? Do you? And if anybody ever challenges on it and say, who are you speaking to? Say, just you say, a better person than you. That's all, because you're talking to the Lord. See? Talking away to the Lord. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Now watch now. He's calling upon himself, the inner man. Not simply with the lips. Not simply doing something with his body. He's blessing the Lord with his soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Here's the inner man with all his affections and devotions. He's calling upon himself to bless the Lord. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. You see, here is a thankful heart. Thankfulness seems to be a lost art. I wonder why. I've told you often, some of you have had the same experience as I have. If we wanted anything in our hearts, we asked for it and had to say please. And when we got it, we had to say thank you or it was taken back. So we were taught from our earliest, there were two words we had to keep in mind was please and thank you. You had to be able to say those things. And when you got something, you said thank you. Thank you. I wonder if we take time to thank the Lord. David did. And he's calling upon the person here, the individual. First of all, himself. Then we bring ourselves in there like David. He's having some kind of devotion here. And he's saying, oh, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Let me say this. There's a lot that passes off today for religious worship that has forgot that God is holy. We should keep in mind the holiness of our God. Bless his holy name. When we think of the holiness of God, it should fill us with that spiritual awe. Imagine that we are allowed into the very presence of a holy God. When Aaron of old, the high priest of Israel, went into the presence of God, up here in the front of his head here, he had a little plate. It said, holiness unto the Lord. He had to realize this. He was going into the presence of a holy God. Now, David was a sinner. We know that. You'll see that as you read down through this song. He knew it. Can you imagine what it's like now? You and me, sinners of Adam's ruined race. Now, it's all right pointing the finger at others and saying, oh, you know, so-and-so, oh, he's a downright sinner, you know. You want to see him at his work. You want to hear him. There are all sorts of things. Or what you read in the paper about certain men. My, isn't he living some kind of life? Huh? He is a sinner, if ever there was one. Huh? But when you point to that, you should also point to this. We're all sinners. So we see ourselves as sinners in Adam's lost and ruined race. what right have we to claim that we can go into the very presence of a holy God? Back in the prophecy of Isaiah is a very interesting thing. This man, Isaiah, he looked around at the nation and he saw how his nation had backslid. They were steeped in sin. And he pronounces woe after woe upon them. But when you come to chapter 6, that remarkable chapter, the year that King Uzziah died, and poor Isaiah, he's got the last prop taken from him. The king has died, and he died as a leper. But he said it was at that same time he saw the Lord high and lifted up. You see, he went into the presence of the Lord in all his trouble. And when he saw the Lord lifted up and on his throne, he also saw those shining seraphim. They all had six wings. With two wings they covered their feet. With two wings they covered their face. And with two wings they could fly. And they're saying, "Holy, holy, holy." They're announcing the holiness of God. As Isaiah had looked out on the nation, he saw all their sin and their sinful deeds. But when he looked up and became occupied with the glory of God, he recognized that God was holy. And the moment he saw himself in the light of the holiness of God, he says, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am also a man of unclean lips." Plain words, he says, "I'm a spiritual leper." How could a man like that ever hope to have an acceptance in the presence of a holy God? How do we contemplate such a thing? Sinners of Adam's race. "Oh," says David, "bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." He saw the holiness of God, and his name was holy. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." You know, it's a wonderful thing when you think of the benefits that God has bestowed upon us. It should cause us to bless his name. See, when God blesses us, he bestows something on us. He gives us something. But when we bless God, we can't give God anything. But I'll tell you what we do. In blessing God, we eulogize him. It's like a thank you. We can speak well to God. We can speak well of his Son. We can speak well of the benefits that we have derived from the work of Calvary. Oh, forget not all his benefits. Suppose we had been there and we said to David, "That's all right for you, David. Would you tell us what some of the benefits are? What benefits have you got from the Lord?" "What," said David, "benefits?" Now listen how he uses that word, who, right down. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities?" Says David, "That was a great blessing to me. My, imagine God forgiving me, the likes of me." Why, he wrote a whole psalm for that, Psalm 32. You see, when David was faced with his sin, remember he tried to hide it. But when he was faced with his sin, he says, "Oh, woe is me. I have sinned against the Lord." You remember Nathan who went to him and he told him that beautiful little parable about the little lamb. And David's anger got stirred up. He said, "Whoever did that," he said, "he'll pay the price for it. He'll die for it." "All right," says Nathan, "David, you're the man. It was you that did this." And he got home to David. David says, "But the Lord The Lord has forgiven all mine iniquities. Oh, what forgiveness. You know, the Lord is more ready to forgive than what we are. Strange thing that. We like to think the Lord has forgiven us, but we're very, very slow to forgive others. Do you remember Peter? Well, Peter thought he had really come to this real top point, you know. He says, Lord, he says, how often has my brother to sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times? And you know, you and I might forgive them once. My, if they do the same thing again, say, no, we've had it. Peter went further than that. Peter says, seven times, Lord, and I'm ready to forgive them. The Lord looked at Peter and he says, no, Peter, not seven times, but until 70 times seven. You see, that's what? 490 times. But you see, what the Lord said to Peter was not so much a number of times, it's for a certain duration. The only other time you get that figure in the Bible is the years that God has ordered upon his people. You get it in the book of Daniel. Until 70 times 7. And the 70 times 7 have not yet been fulfilled. The 70 times 7 was divided up into 7, and then 62, and then 1. At the end of the first period, God forgave them. God says, now you bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and prove me now. That's Malachi. He was ready to forgive. At the end of the 69th, the Lord was on the cross. You remember, he looked down at the very men who nailed him there, and he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. When the 70 times 7 are fulfilled, you come to Romans chapter 11, then all Israel shall be saved. And God will forgive them. And they'll enter into millennial blessing. Forgiveness. Bless the Lord, O my soul, says David, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. There's a cause for rejoicing. There's a cause for blessing God. Cause for thanksgiving. You know, you don't need to be able to recite a long prayer in order to be heard at a prayer meeting. Brethren, you could rise to your feet and thank the Lord for having saved you. Thank the Lord for sending his son to die on the cross. Thank the Lord for all his benefits to you. He's forgiven you. That's one of the greatest benefits we could have. Forgiveness of sins. But then he says more than that, who healeth all thy diseases. But says someone, now I can't give God thanks for that. Why? Well, you see, he hasn't healed my diseases, hasn't he? It all depends on how you look at it. Even if you take it in the normal, everyday way of thinking, if it's something that's physical, and the doctor comes along and he thumps you on the chest and on the back and tries all these other fancy gadgets, I don't know what they all mean, but he sounds you. And then he prescribes something. Then you go to the pharmacist and pay all that he asks you to pay. And you get those little pills or capsules. And you take them. The man along the street gets the same thing, but he doesn't get healed. But you get healed. Who is it that does the healing? It's not the doctor. The doctor only prescribes. It's not the pharmacist. He only dispenses. It's God that does the healing. even in a simple way of the body. But may I suggest there's something far greater than that here. Healeth all our diseases, all the spiritual diseases, all that was wrong with us spiritually. You come to him. He's forgiven your iniquities. Your sins are forgiven. He'll heal all your spiritual diseases. You know, I'm shocked these days when I see the news or hear the news and see them in the paper. Why is it they're making such a fuss today about those crystal ball gazers? Those spiritual advisors. Do you know what they are, of course, don't you? They're spiritists. That's what they are. Tools of the devil. Yet they're given all the publicity they can get. This old book tells us we can come to the throne of grace. Here to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He'll heal all our diseases. When something goes wrong with us spiritually, get it settled with the Lord. He's ready to restore you. Not only is there remission of sins, there's restoration for the backslider. He goes a little further. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Life spared. But you know, this can go a little further. If he has saved us now and forgiven us, even at the end of this life, then we'll have the full value of the atoning work of Christ. There'll be no more diseases. You know, when we get to heaven, we'll know an awful difference there. I have a good friend who's a funeral director. I tell him, Samuel, you know, we know funeral directors in heaven. And he just looks and he smiles. He said, no, that's right. No, need us to do any work up there. There'll be no funerals, no caskets, no burials. No, no. He healeth all our diseases up there. We're yet waiting for the redemption of this body. No more sin, no more sighing, no more parting, no more dying. What a wonderful time it will be. That's some of the benefits we have in the Lord. Forget not all his benefits. We've something to look forward to. He will redeem thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. You see what's coming. Now, David no doubt had all this in his own life. Perhaps it was a very personal thing with David, and he felt like bursting out into song, whatever that instrument was that he played. Of course, the Salvation Army tell us the instrument was 10 fingers, and he just clapped his hands. That's why they want to clap their hands. You say, that's the instrument of 10 strings. And I don't believe that, but if a person felt like clapping their hand because they're happy, that's all right. But he had a little instrument he played, because you remember he went into the presence of Saul and played for him. I don't know whether it was a guitar or a violin or whatever it was. It was something he played. And he sang. He must have been a sweet singer in his young days. But this psalm is written in his old age, you see. And the fact of the matter is, he's thinking what God has done for him. He forgave him his sins, that's true. Perhaps there have been times when he was sick and God healed his diseases. And then he's going to crown him with loving kindness. Must have been a wonderful day for David when he was crowned. That coronation day. His mind will go back to the day when Samuel came, when he was just a little lad down at Bethlehem, and his 7 brothers were passed over. He was the last of the line, and Samuel took that horn of oil and anointed young David. But now the time has come when that's put into effect, and he's crowned as king of the nation. And you know, there's a coming day, beloved, when we're going to be crowned. You sang about it, or at least we don't sing about it so much now. It used to be very popular. The crowning day is coming by and by. But that's visualizing the Lord being crowned. But then there are other crowns in the Word of God that for the believers. And when we get there, we'll lay our crowns at His feet. Are you going to have any? Bless the Lord and forget not all His benefits. And I like this last one. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, not bad things, not sour things, but good things. You know, it's James that tells us that God is the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, nor any shadow ever cast by turning. And, says James, every good and every perfect gift cometh from Him. So all the good things we get, the good and perfect gifts, come from Him. Then why should we bless the Lord and forget not all His benefits? Now, while David has been stirring up himself with regards to these things, that's personal, but it's applicable to you and me as persons. He goes on now here from verse 6 right to the end of verse 18. And he's going through a historical record. We haven't time to go into all the details of it tonight. He's been thinking of God's holiness. Now he's going to think of God's grace. And he goes through the history of his nation and what God has done, how He executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Didn't that take you down to Egypt? Weren't they oppressed in Egypt? And didn't the Lord come to their assistance and deliver them from Egypt? And so on. Look at verse 8. For the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. You think of Him as He brought through the wilderness for 40 years. Oh, the grace that God showed to that stubborn, hard-necked nation. How often they turned away from Him. Remember how they wanted the golden calf, etc., etc., etc. And all the times they murmured against God and against Moses. But the Lord was merciful and gracious. And just as He was merciful and gracious to them, hasn't He been and still is very merciful and gracious to us? Hasn't He been merciful to you and very gracious? He will not chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. But now time's gone. Comes right down to the end. After stirring up the nation and expecting the nation to join with Him in His praise, look at verse 19. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. After dealing with God's grace, He directs our attention now to God's greatness. God ruleth over all. Now, I hope that each of us tonight keep a grip on this. God has not yet abdicated His throne, and He never will. God is still on the throne, in spite of all that we see developing around us at the present time. Of all the corruption that you see in politics, of all the immorality that's multiplying and spreading in the area, and it's no use closing your eyes to it and saying it's not there. It is. It is. There are things being published in the papers today that 60 years ago people would hardly have whispered them. Common knowledge today. It's in the newspapers. People talk about it. Politicians talk about it. Doctors talk about it. Even right here in this area, They're facing now the awful curse of venereal diseases. And they can't stop it. It's there. And it's there as a result of sin. We're worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. We're glorying in it. And God poured judgment down in Sodom and Gomorrah. My, he's been merciful and gracious to us, hasn't he? Now he calls upon the angels in heaven, the good angels, them that excel in strength, that do his commandments. He wants them to bless the Lord. Then he blessed the Lord, all the hosts of heaven. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. And he concludes by a great shout, hallelujahs as it were. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Brothers and sisters, it's a wonderful thing for us to be permitted and to be able to speak well to God and to speak well of God and his great work. Don't be reluctant to bless the Lord. Let him hear what you've got to say in thanksgiving for all he's done. Thank you. Bobby will now give us the announcement.